Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Led by the Spirit. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Man by nature cherishes a deep-seated animosity against God. And we're seeing that so much more today, aren't we? Just that open, flagrant rebellion. So there's this animosity against God. Man is antagonistic to his name, to his kingdom, to his will, to his day even, setting aside a day to worship him, his people, his word, his son, his spirit, his glory. You find that there's a deep-seated animosity in the hearts of men toward God. And here's the more specific manifestation of it. You can find people that will talk about their deep love for God. And they will have some sort of an outward devotion to God. And then you tell them, well, did you know that Jesus claimed to be God? Oh, there's no way Jesus is God. And what happens? The true hostility in the heart begins to manifest itself. You want to know where somebody's heart is in relation to God? Just ask them what they think about Jesus Christ. That will tell you where they're at in relation to God. They might be committed to their religion. They might be devout. They might pray fervently. They might give generously. They might say, I love God with all my heart. You bring up Jesus, and man, the sparks start to fly. What is that showing? It's showing what's really going on in their heart. That's the real attitude toward God. Because, of course, Christ is the real God. And again, they have created their own God. So, this is the natural man. And it says here regarding him that he cannot please God and that he abides in the realm of death. To be carnally minded is death. Cannot please God. You see, this is why there is the necessity of the new birth. Because in the flesh, I can't please God. Nothing I can do in the flesh can please God, because this is who I really am in the flesh. I am this rebellious, hostile person who is at total enmity with God. I'm not going to be subject to his law. That's who I am deep in my heart. There's nothing I can do to please God. I have to have a new birth. That's the only way. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So who does that include? It includes every single person on the planet who's not born again. That's who it includes. Only those who have been born of the Spirit can please God. That's what Paul is talking about here. And so he says, regarding the spiritual man, he makes the contrast. So the spiritual man, notice, minds the things of the Spirit. So the spiritual man is a person whose life centers around the Spirit. The mind is taken up with the things of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you just sit around all day long and just dream about spiritual things. And, you know, you can't really do anything else because, boy, you're just kind of floating with your head in the clouds. You know, wow, I'm just a spiritual man. Doesn't mean that. But what it means is that at the end of the day, what I'm primarily all about is the Spirit. I'm about the Lord, and I'm about the things of God. And yes, I do a bunch of other things, but those other things are just sort of incidental things. They all revolve around this great passion, and that's to know God and to please God and to love God. And that's the person who is the spiritually minded person. And that's the regenerate person. That's what happens when we get saved. We go from having the mind of the flesh to having the mind of the Spirit. We go from the focus being on the world and on ourselves to the focus being on the Lord. So minding the things of the Spirit abides in the realm of life and experiences peace. Isn't that a much better option? Abiding in the realm of life rather than the realm of death. And the end result of that is peace. This is the thing that the natural man can never attain to. The natural man has no peace. And so, to sum up, John Stott said it this way. He said, here are two categories of people. The unregenerate who are in the flesh and the regenerate who are in the Spirit, who have two perspectives or mindsets, the mind of the flesh and the mind of the Spirit, which lead to two patterns of conduct, living according to the flesh or the Spirit, and result in two spiritual states, death or life, enmity or peace. So Paul is talking to believers, right? He's talking to people who are in the Spirit, but he's reminding them of that other life that they had previously lived. And of course, in doing so, he's wanting to, you know, remind them to hold fast and to stay firm in the things of the Spirit. But then he goes on, and notice in the 9th verse, he says to them, he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So to Christians, see, here's where it becomes crystal clear. He's talking about Christians and non-Christians, regenerate and unregenerate. You, his audience, the believers that he's writing to, he says, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. But then he says this, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then he says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So here Paul is making this very clear. You cannot be a Christian apart from the Spirit of God. A Christian is by definition someone who has been born of the Spirit. And having been born of the Spirit, we are now indwelt by the Spirit. So Paul says, if you're not indwelt by the Spirit, if you haven't been born of the Spirit, then you don't really belong to Christ. Now this is super relevant today because there are lots of people that would claim to be Christians, but also emphatically claim that they have not been born again and don't have any desire to be born again. I've had conversations with people like that. I remember talking to a lady one time as I was traveling on a train up from London to York, and you know, we sat down and we started talking, and I started to share with her a little bit, and I said, you know, something to the effect that I was a Christian. She looked at me, she said, you're not one of those born-agains, are you? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I am. She said, oh, I'm not one of those born-agains. I'm a Christian, but I'm not a born-again. You know, she had had a bad experience, you know, honestly, with Christians. And you can understand that sometimes. So I took the opportunity to explain to her, well, you know, the reality is this. Jesus is the one who said you have to be born again. And I'm sorry that you ran into some people that said they were born again and left a bad taste in your mouth, but unless you're born again, you're not really a Christian. And she softened up and warmed up a little bit, and she didn't accept the Lord, but, you know, maybe a seed was planted there. But this is, you know, where people are at. Still, lots of people in this country today are churchgoers. They belong to a particular denomination, and they would say, well, I'm a Christian. Usually they would say something like, well, I'm a Baptist or a Presbyterian or an Anglican or, you know, a Methodist or whatever. You know, people say, I'm a Calvary Chapel person. So, you know, people will have this this idea that this is what I am, but they have a kind of an aversion to the born-again thing. I remember when I first became a Christian years and years ago, I was sharing the Lord with this guy, and I was telling him he needed to be born again. And he said to me, he said, oh, that born-again thing, that's like some new twist on it. He said, you know, that Chuck Smith guy, he made that up. I said, well, you know, I think it predated Chuck just by a little bit. Here, let me show you who actually originally said it. And I opened my little pocket Bible to John chapter 3 and showed him. He was shocked. Wow, Jesus said that? Yeah. Yeah, it was Jesus who said, you've got to be born again. So there's no such thing as a Christian who is not born again. Now, that doesn't mean that you had to say the sinner's prayer in a particular way or go forward at an altar call or something like that. But what it does mean is you have to have opened your heart to Christ and received him. And he comes into your life. And he comes in through the Spirit. And so the Spirit comes in and regenerates us, makes us alive spiritually, and then indwells us. And that's what Paul is saying here. But then he goes on and he says this. He says, and if Christ is in you, which he is, if you're born again, says the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now he's sort of hearkening back here to some of the things that he said earlier. You remember in the sixth chapter, there he spoke of our old man having been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. So that's what he's referring to here. He's going back to that same thing. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The old man has been crucified. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. So here Paul is telling us now how it is that we have the ability to have a victory over sin. We have the victory over sin because of the indwelling Spirit. That's how the victory comes. Remember, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Holy Spirit actually comes and lives inside of us, and it's the Holy Spirit working through us that gives us the victory over sin. We can't obtain our own victory. Even as God's people, we still are totally dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in order to please God and to, you know, live victoriously over sin. He doesn't expect us to do that in our flesh. We do it through the working of the Spirit. So he says here, the Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. Ultimately, that will manifest itself in the resurrection when God will raise our bodies and give us new bodies. But presently, it's talking about this power that God gives us over sin. Don't be afraid to call upon the Lord for help. You know, I talk to people all the time who, for whatever reason, they don't call upon the Lord to help them. They struggle along in their own strength, and then they fall on their face. And then they get up and struggle some more, and then they fall down again. And they never think to call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Lord, help me. Give me your strength. Fill me. And you know, sometimes in some seasons in our lives, we have to do that almost moment by moment. You know, you go through some seasons in life where you've got to just cling so tightly to the Lord, because there's temptation, strong temptation that's coming, or there's bondage that you've been in and God's freeing you from that. But it's, you know, sometimes it comes down to like a moment by moment thing. It, you know, it's not always that way. It's like having a disease or, you know, when you're treating something initially, you've got some massive infection or something, they come in initially, of course, with all of the power of those medications, and they're going to give you dose after dose after dose to break that grip of that infection in your body. And then as your body begins to, you know, recover and be strengthened, then that's going to decrease and the body's going to naturally start to heal itself. And, you know, there's sort of an analogy there spiritually. There are times when we just have to go to the Lord moment by moment, hour by hour. And we just have to go back to Him. Lord, give me a victory over this thing. Lord, I don't want to succumb to this. Lord, I don't want these feelings to control me or this temptation to overwhelm me. And as we come to Him, He gives us the power. But we need to ask Him. We need to come to Him expecting Him to do that. That's what we're talking about here. He gives life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in us. So there's, in one sense, there's that it's just there happening, and we find ourselves having victory sometimes without even any effort. Wow, man, I'm just, you know, I'm doing great. And you realize, well, the Lord's just helping me. But then there are those times, okay, Lord, we've got to have those sort of intense times of just really leaning on Him. So don't be afraid to do that. Don't think you're bothering the Lord. Don't think that you're wearying Him. You can't weary God. He's got plenty of strength. And He's never going to get tired of supplying you with grace to have victory in your life. So now, having said all of that, He now goes on and He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We have no debt to the flesh. My debt is to the Spirit. So we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And then He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the sons of God, or the children of God. Now, it's interesting. Paul was always conscious of the possibility that some in his audience had yet to make the transition from death to life, or from the flesh to the Spirit. So even though his primary objective here in these verses that we've looked at, even though his primary objective is to encourage those who are in Christ and indwelt by the Spirit, his secondary objective is to warn those still in the flesh that they are spiritually dead and headed toward eternal death. That's who he's appealing to here in these verses here. When he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's appealing to those in his audience. He was aware, in all of Paul's epistles, he's always aware of the person that's there who might look like they're part of the fellowship. They're going through things externally, but the heart has never really been changed. He's always conscious of that. And I think that's exactly who he is referring to here, who he's pointing this particular message to right here, letting them know that, hey, the end of the flesh will take you ultimately to death, and you don't want to go there. And so he's asking the question, are you in the Spirit? And how do we know if we're in the Spirit? Well, verse 14 tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. These are the sons of God. So this is how all of us can check ourselves. Paul himself would say, examine yourselves. Make sure you're in the faith. This is not anything you want to be uncertain about. You remember Peter, in his epistle, he said, make your calling and election sure. So there is that place where we all sometimes need to take an inventory. We just need to look and see, you know, where are we at? Are we being led? And when he says those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Being led by the Spirit is just another way of referring to everything he's already said. Now, there's different ways you can be led by the Spirit. Obviously, as a child of God, you can be led by the Spirit in regard to your calling in life, you know, what some ministry God might have for you. You know, God's leading me to go out and do this kind of thing. That's not what Paul's referring to right here. The being led by the Spirit here is what he's previously spoken of, being spiritually minded, having life, having peace. So that's the question he's asking. Are you being led by the Spirit? That's how you can know. Is your life marked by the Spirit, or is your life dominated by the flesh? And these are questions that we have to ask ourselves, and we've got to make sure that we are in that right place. We've got to make sure that we're in the Spirit. And if we do a self-evaluation and it appears that maybe we're not, we need to just repent and cry out to the Lord and just say, Lord, you know, forgive me. I want to turn away from the flesh. I don't want to live in that realm of death. I want to be in the Spirit. I want to be in the realm of life. And as we call out to him in sincerity, wherever we're at, he takes us right there. And he picks us up and he says, okay, let's move forward. But then also, finally, you know, it's possible to be in the Spirit in the sense that we're genuinely born of the Spirit, but we've backslidden. And we're in a place where even though we're born of the Spirit, we're living like we're not. We're living sinful lifestyles. And that, of course, will bring the chasing of God. That's the thing we need to repent of. We need to turn away from that. Remember, the end of that road is death. And you don't even want to venture down that road at all. So, these are the great truths that he begins this 8th chapter with. And finally, again, just a reminder, it's the Spirit's presence in us. It's the Spirit indwelling us. That's where the victory is going to come from. So this is my final word. Feed the Spirit. Cultivate the Spirit. Paul puts it like this in writing to the Galatians. You remember he says, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life. So we want to be sowing to the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit. We want to be feeding the Spirit, building up the Spirit. And as I'm doing that, it's going to lend itself to victory upon victory upon victory. So sow to the Spirit. Be in the Word. And be in fellowship with other believers. Be encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ. Cultivate your prayer life. Put spiritual things into your heart and mind. We're inundated with all kinds of junk, aren't we? It's easy to just get your mind filled with all kinds of rubbish from the world. So we've got to make an effort to sow to the Spirit. We've got to make an effort to put spiritual things into our life. And we've got to make choices. And we just need to make some choices. Say, you know, I can do this, and that's going to feed the flesh. Or I can do this, and this is going to feed the Spirit. And we just need to make the right choices, feed ourselves spiritually, build ourselves up, get saturated in the things of the Spirit. And man, that is life, and that is peace, and that's what you want. It's what everybody's looking for. And this is the way to get it. We get it through Christ and him dwelling in us and him filling our lives through his Spirit.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Slain by the Spirit. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Led by the Spirit. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0138. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.